Mike Wazowski.
James P. Sullivan.
Like Bill Sullivan?
He's my dad.
I expect big things from you.
I just need to ace my classes, graduate with honors, and become the greatest scarer ever.
Were you kissing my hand?
And what about you with all your shedding?
I don't shed.
Really?
Why was this movie so damn long?
It felt long to you?
Oh my god, it felt so long to me. I was just like, you know what? They did play a couple of shorts in the beginning before the movie started, so maybe I am getting a little ahead of myself. But it's just so simple of a story that I just felt like, god, this went on for so long or whatever. I don't know why, but
I was just more like
about Monsters University here.
Yeah, I was just more like, wow, they found a way to co-op Animal House as a kid's movie.
Or Revenge of the Nerds.
Or any other college movie you've seen, American Pie, Beta House, anything involving Greek life. Hey, yeah. That's what this is.
Yeah, I think there is a band camp in this one too, you know.
It would have made it more interesting if they did go darker and actually, like, did the college stuff. Because you're sitting here watching this and, like, me being in college, like, all these moments that, like, you expected, like, hey, there's going to come some hardcore party, gets the most disified version of college life. I'm like,
oh,
man.
My God. Thank you. And that's why I felt so long because, well, we'll get into that later. But, you know, I'll just go ahead and say this right off the bat. I felt like this movie was just plain and safe.
This movie was cute. And that's... To a
there
fault.
You go. Oh my god! Thank God you're here because I've never said that on here. So,
but it's so cute and fluffy and colorful, and I don't give two shits.
Well, then you want to break us down a plot synopsis here? Then
sure, why not? So,
people, this will take him 5 minutes. Don't worry.
Yeah. So. People, as everyone knows, this is a prequel to Monsters, Inc., which I don't know about you, I actually really like Monsters, Inc.
For me, I will say this, even though I pretty much didn't really care for this movie, I thought this one was better than Monsters, Inc. I didn't really care for Monsters, Inc. too much, whatever, but I think it is a good movie. I won't say it's bad, whatever, it just wasn't for me. I think that's like one of the softest Pixar stories, if anything.
No, it's one of those movies that, like, as I get older, I appreciate it more. Just because I do like... It's one of those movies that, even for a kid's movie, it does have a pretty heavy plot.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. I like that it's something that does, you know... It takes resonance in what we're dealing with today, and that's what I love about that plot. But not the point. We're dealing with the prequel. As we see Mike Wazowski... And James P. Sullivan when they were in college.
Oh my god, animated films are doing fucking prequels now.
Yeah. So, Mike is one of those straight-A students who all he wants to do is be a scarer because when he was a little kid, he went to the Scream Factory and accidentally snuck at a door and saw someone do the scaring and was, like, mystified. Like, wow, I want to be a scary, even though he's just a green little ball that isn't scary at all.
Yeah, I was about to say he got his little nerd rocks hard off on him and everything, but I was like, wait a minute, he's just a ball. He don't have anything.
Right. So he's this straight-A student, but everyone has told him his whole life, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not scary. And you got to give him credit. He really wants to prove people wrong almost to a fault. And then you have Sullivan.
He's very motivating. You know?
Yeah.
I could give the movie that. I could give it credit on that one. Like, kids could look up to that little guy and be like, wow, I want to set him on fire.
No, that's the other dude. That's Sullivan.
You know how destructive kids are these days, whatever.
That's true. So the other half of the movie follows James P. Sullivan, who we all remember from the first movie is the Star Scarer. And they show him in college, and he's part of the Sullivan lineage, which they establish is very well known
legacy,
in the world.
Bro.
Yeah, it's a legacy. But he's your typical college bro who doesn't give two shits.
Yeah, he's only there because of his family name, pretty much.
Right, so the movie deals with these two, how they became friends and college shenanigans. That's really
man,
it, people.
And they were such of the weakest shenanigans ever. I was like, man, if I'd have went to this school, I'd have been pretty pissed off, whatever. I just took online classes.
Yeah, it's... People, this is college Disney-fied. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's every college movie that you've seen done in the Disney version. But... Yeah. I will say this. I do really like the first and third act of this movie.
I like the third act. The first act I go, I think the middle half is where I got like, okay, Disney, I see where you've taken over now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know. The first act of this movie, like when they go into the Scare Factory, I'll admit, I started getting a little nostalgic. It's like, oh, we're back. This is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, see, me not having any kind of connection with the first one or whatever, I saw this one just like, okay, this is okay. I like this, whatever.
Yeah.
I think after once Mike and Sullivan met, that's where it kind of got a little lower. I was like,
I agree. Because
with prequels, this is one problem with prequels, whatever, they're predictable.
Mm-hmm. They really are. And that's to the fault of this movie. But that's why we'll get into it later. But that's why with the third act of this movie, I really have to give it a lot of credit for pulling off what it did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the first act, I really like how they set up Mike's character, because a lot of people I know, one of the biggest faults about the first film was that they found his character annoying. But this one, they set him up as really likable.
Yeah, he's outgoing. He tries hard or whatever. He never gives up. I even like the you know what? I say the when he met Sullivan, is that where it got? But I even like that one scene where he gets on top of the car and tells the dean of the school, like, hey, I was like, whoa, this dude got some confidence in him, whatever. He got a little nutsack down there, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, he has an overwhelming amount of confidence, which is, it's remarkable, and it makes you want to root for him, because he is that go-getter that, even when everyone's telling him, you're just a little shit, he's still trying to do his best.
One problem I have with him, though, in the movie, I will say this, is the whole time he's talking about, this is my team and I'll do this and you guys should listen to me.
Right.
They never really addressed that he's part of the problem as well.
Right. You know? Oh, no, they do. They do.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do. Remember when they go to the Scream Factory again and him and Sully look at each other and it's like, we've both been fucking up?
That one little scene, though, and they, even though after that scene when they started working together, though, he was still coaching them around, whatever. I was just like, yeah, but they never addressed his part now, whatever.
That's true. Okay. So, but the other thing that I really like about the first act of this film is that that's the only part of the film where I thought the college jokes were working.
Yeah. You know, one thing I will say, too, as far as positive, as being a prequel or whatever, they didn't knock you upside the head with stuff from the original film of it.
And no, they didn't.
They had little glimpses of stuff there, but they didn't, like, play them out or whatever. You saw things. I hear people in the audience clapping or whatever and stuff, but they didn't. One character I thought that they should have took it a little bit further, which was...
I know exactly what you're going to say.
What was that?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, I think they should have took with Randy, played by Steve.
Randall, yeah.
I think they should have took that a little bit further, you know, just to show why he's such a dick in the first
place. Right. I love the reveal that they do for him, though, where he's the nerd and he looks like a normal person, and then when Mike's like, just take off the glasses, and then he looks like the sulking asshole.
Yeah, well, when they first introduce him, whatever, like, Mike, he opens up the door or whatever, and it's just a silhouette of him, and he's like, oh, shit, I really know who that is. And was he a dick when they first met him, too?
No, like, I love that reveal where it does set it up like, oh, there's Randall, and then he's like, hi!
My name's Randall.
Yeah. And that's a funny joke. And, like, I love the first act of this movie, and all the jokes were hitting. Like, there's a joke where they go to the cafeteria, and to put food on the table, all the lunch ladies do is just dump out the trash onto the table.
You know what? That is probably the only joke I kind of laughed at, actually, because after that, I kind of was just staring at the film and just going, what was the point of this? Well, I know what the point was. Cash grab.
Right. I think the other joke that really worked for me is the whole capturing the pig scene whenever they're chasing him and there's a douchebag playing the guitar and they break it.
Yeah, I didn't even react to that, honestly.
See, I think it's because I saw so many of those douchebags at my old school that just seeing that, I was just like, yes!
Yeah, see, in L.A., we didn't have that in our school.
Yeah, but...
We had no fucking hipsters playing their fucking guitar.
Right. I also give credit a lot to the scene where they introduce the quote-unquote villain of the film, the dean.
Yeah, well, you know what? The dean, I thought, was probably the best. One thing I will give credit to the film, too, even though I've been giving credit a lot of the film, is I love the cinematography and the background. The artwork on this look amazing, too, whatever. But
can I make a side note here?
Yeah.
The short film before it? Oh, my God!
Which one? Because I saw, like, four of them.
The Blue Umbrella.
The Blue Umbrella one? Yeah.
That was incredible.
I love the music in that.
If that's where animation's going in the next couple years, god damn.
Yeah, that's definitely up there as far as like winning best animated short for Oscar next year or whatever.
Right.
That Umbrella was just, I was like, man, is this the movie?
Yeah. And I'm with you. I think the animation, the art design, everything on this movie, it does get college right.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
And, my favorite design in the whole movie was the dean or whatever, the so-called villain you set up, whatever, because, wow, the animation, like, when she first gets introduced in her, I ain't gonna lie, I got kind of scared. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and then when Sully and Mike break her record-breaking can, like, you're like, oh, shit, even though she doesn't do anything.
And I do love in the end, though, like, because in the whole movie, she's just looking like a stone-cold-hearted bitch or whatever, but at the end of the movie, her mouth is open wide and her eyes like, oh,
oh. Right. And, could you tell who voiced her?
What was her name in the movie? I don't even know her name in the movie, to be honest.
I forget, but I read this. She was voiced by our lovely Helen Mirren.
That's right. I knew it was Helen Mirren, but I knew Helen Mirren was in the movie, but I couldn't tell who it was or whatever. And, Professor Knight was played by Alfred Molina, if I believe.
Yeah, Dean Hardscrabble was her name.
Dean Hardscrabble. See, I never knew her name. I think it just called her Dean or whatever.
Right. So pretty much where this movie takes a turn for the second act is Dean Hardscrabble fails Mike and Sully on the preliminary scaring test. And so Mike and Sully are both really sad about it. And then once the next semester starts, Mike remembers about the Greek scare games.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a bet in front of all Greek community with Hardscrabble, saying, if my fraternity wins, which is Uzma Kappa, which is the most nerdy fraternity on campus, go figure, you will let us back into the program.
Part of the movie, actually.
Yeah. Mike tells her, if we win, you're letting everyone on my team back into the program. And Sully hears that. He's just like, I'm on their team, too.
Yeah, because everybody looks at this dean and is just like, oh, shit, we're afraid of her. But Mike got on that car and, like, looked her in the eye and was just like, look here. Look, yeah. God damn it. You look me in my eye.
And it's a great line. It's a great line. And when she's like, why do you want to do that? And he's like, so I can prove that you were wrong.
I was like, oh, burn, bitch, burn. Oh, you feel that?
Yeah. But it's at that. It's after.
It was when they first failed. I was like, damn. Now I feel bad because I was cheering with this green motherfucker. Boom, get your ass off stage.
Mm-hmm. And it's really at this point in the film where it becomes the Animal House Revenge of the Nerds for the second act. And the second act is the weakest part of the film because you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, because, you know, and not even just so much of it being a prequel. It's just predictable on the point that, like, okay, we know these two are friends, but even if we didn't know that, how does these movies usually work? We have two that are usually rivalries at the beginning. They find a way to, they have to work together under circumstances or whatever, unbelief. And then they find a way to work out their problem, then they become the best of friends. Then towards the end, there's something that splits them apart to them to have that moment of conversation where they go like, you know what, you really are my best friend. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it does follow that formula, but I was saying more with the second act, it follows like the college movie formula where it's like, oh, here's a game, oh, they're gonna win, oh, the other douchey fraternity is gonna get pissed about it because their manhood's being threatened, la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, could you tell who was the other villain in this film?
Was it the douchebag and the other damn, what was that fraternity? And
Roar Omega Roar.
Yeah, Roar. That's fucking ridiculous.
Oh, I know. How do you think I felt? How do you think I felt with my with the one fraternity where it was? Oh, what was it? But I was just like, wow, really?
There was one with the all-female ones. Like, I like the eyes. I ain't gonna lie. I got kind of turned on right there.
That was hilarious to me. Where they're like, we're gonna kill you. And then they do their evil eyes. I was like, whoa.
Oh, it's hot.
But, no, the leader of the douchey fraternity was Nathan Fillion.
No, yeah. What was his name? You know, I ain't gonna lie. I don't remember any of the other characters' names in these fucking movies, to be honest.
His name was Johnny Worthington.
Johnny Worth, I don't even remember hearing that in the movie, but then again, I saw the movie a week ago, so you right. Know, could be that.
Dude, the cast for this movie, you know what, I gotta give it credit, the cast for this movie is actually pretty damn amazing.
Yeah, it's like a DreamWorks cast.
Yeah, it's Joel Murray, Sean Hayes, Dave Foley, Charlie Day, Helen Mirren, Alfred Molina, Nathan Fillion, Aubrey Plaza, Tyler Labine, John Krasinski.
Don't forget Steve Buscemi.
Billy Crystal, yeah. John Goodman. That's a hell of a cast.
And it's such a shame because I didn't feel a goddamn thing for anybody in this movie.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I completely agree with you. That's really the problem. You don't really feel anything for any character until the third
Maybe
act.
Maybe it should have been a sequel instead of a prequel. Maybe I would have felt a little bit more or whatever. I don't know. But
and yeah. I'm going to get to that. But where this movie turns in the third act is, as we've been saying, you know, Mike and Sully, they start becoming friends throughout these games and trying to get their fraternity to win. They end up winning, but
Mike, I knew he was going to get to this part because I was about to say, I was starting to think, I was like, when the third act was actually good? And then I was like, ah, yes, the part where it doesn't become the whole Disney-fied thing.
Right, because they win the games, but Mike figures out that Sully cheated.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny because you would think, like, for a test that's this big, whatever, they would have, like, some kind of lock on that goddamn thing.
Right. And when Mike figures out that Sully cheats, he's just like, fuck you, dude, I'm going to show you that I can scare people. And goes through an actual human Dorn in the school and causes lockdown.
Yeah, because, and it's funny because none of the children are scared of this dude. They're just like, ooh, little girl, they want to bounce him like a basketball.
Right, and it shows Mike, like, hey.
It was a camp, right? It was a camp he was at.
Right, and it shows Mike, you know, maybe everyone was right, but the real best scene to me is in this film is when Sully pretty much just says, fuck everyone, this is my fault, I'm going through and getting him.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds Mike sitting out by the lake, and that's an amazing scene with the two of them.
Did you see the cinematography in that scene, though?
It was incredible. Like,
it was incredible. It blew my mind. I was like, wow, this looks so real. Even the humans on the look on the designs of the cops, I was like, wow, that looks perfect.
Well, it was like that scene. Like, I turned over to the person I went to go see it with. I was like, this is where John Lasseter stepped in and said, step aside.
John Lesnar came back from his home and said, you making what move?
He just more was like, so how's it look? Get the hell out of here.
Maybe this will be acceptable for Mr. John Lesnar. As soon as the name got heard in the office, they was like, shh, dude, you're not supposed to say that name. He woke up and the lights went off. What did you just say?
Let me see the cuts.
Dude, you idiot now, whatever. Mr. Lazar, we can't do that. That'll cost. I don't give a damn. Do it.
Do you know who I am, bitch?
You're fired.
So, but it really... See,
if that's your favorite scene, then my favorite scene was where you're thinking that the dean is going to be like, oh, you guys are admitted back in school. My favorite scene is you're both expelled. So, and I was like, oh my God, it didn't go that route.
No, they didn't. But the thing that I like about that campfire scene is that that's the scene in the film where it sets up to me, okay, this is why these two are good friends.
Yeah, it had heart.
It's these two pretty much laying out all their shit on the table for each other.
Mm-hmm. And I wish the movie would have had more of that instead of going the, you know, I can't even say, I can say generic route, but at the same time, they're not marketing this for adults. It's clearly marketed for kids, whatever. So, you know, I can't fault the movie for, you know, basing it on his target audience, but you know, it's disappointing when you see something like what we saw at that campfire scene, and then you're like, oh, why couldn't the movie be more like this? Because if I saw more of that in the movie, I would have went back and bought Monsters, Inc. or whatever, and probably been like, I'm watching both of these back-to-back now.
Right, and the other scene after that, I love the hell out of the scene where they're like, how are we going to get back to the real world? Because they shut the door off for safety, and they're like, wait, if we get adults to scream and get scared, we'll get them. And it sets up this amazing scene that looks at horror meta-ness.
It pretty much sets up the first movie, too, or whatever, as far as how these two work together now.
Right, and it's a great scene that shows all these horror tropes, because Mike's a really smart guy who can coach Sully, even though Sully's an idiot. And that's what sets up the first film, where these two work as a team. Mm-hmm. And when you see this scene happen, and it's cool on that element, but it's also cool on the element that it really does play out like a horror scene, but it's like a behind-the-scenes looking at a horror scene.
That last 20 minutes, I gotta say, when they went to the real world, I was genuinely impressed or whatever. I was a little bit exhausted, I'm not gonna lie, after that first second act, whatever, and shit.
I was, too.
Yeah, I was kind of like, okay, can we just wrap up the cute little ending we're gonna have here now? But then when I saw this, I was like, okay, I even lifted up my 3D glasses or whatever, I was like, by the way, stop putting shit in 3D, honestly, whatever. That shit was dark as fuck, and I took those glasses off, and I was like, wow, it's brighter.
Yeah, I didn't see it in 3D. I don't bother to see movies in 3D.
Yeah, the screener was in 3D, so I had no fucking choice.
Yeah, that sucks. But, yeah, as P1 explained earlier, they go back, and it's not, you know, oh, you two are the greatest students ever. They get expelled.
Yeah, even though, like, the dean is like, nobody's ever done this before, she still looks at them as like, get the hell out of here now. And I was just like, oh, thank you.
Right. And the movie then shows it to them, like, look, you know, we're out, but We could always get a job as mail people and work our way up. In the movie, you know, in the typical montage, shows them working their way up. But I do, like, I was watching that, and it shows them going on the floor for their first day, and I was more like, you know what? I kind of wish I would have seen a sequel instead of this.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, because we already know how they're going to become friends, whatever. If you're not going to add moments like that we saw at the campfire or whatever, then, you know, it's like, what is the point of this or whatever? But, you know, I would rather have seen a sequel where they broke apart and saw more moments like what we saw at that campfire, at least, or whatever. But I do appreciate that ending of them not being readmitted back in the school because they did something that no one's ever been done, because that's how real life works.
Yeah, and that's the thing I also got to give this movie a lot of credit for. This movie does, it doesn't lie to kids. It tells kids, you know, if you're smart and if you study hard enough, you'll do good. If you fuck up, that's on you.
See, I gotta, that's where I might differ with you, because from Mike's point of view, if you study and try hard, no matter how hard you do it, you may not just get it, kids. That's the message I was getting from him.
That's
like,
kind of a good point,
actually.
You
can study hard all you want or whatever. Just because you want it doesn't mean you're going to get it, though. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I do like the fact that, but the person I went to go see it with also made an excellent point where she said that this movie really has a good message of, you know, maybe college isn't for you. It's not for everyone. And if it's not for you, then don't get discouraged. Just find your calling.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they did at the end or whatever, which I'm not gonna lie, I like. They worked their way up and got to where the point where they wanted to
right.
be.
Right. The movie has a whole message of, if you do work hard enough, you will, you know, you will get success.
And I think that G rating kind of Disney-fies it by that middle half of
you're not
going into depth about that concept, because I think that concept is there.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get explored to the end of the movie.
I agree. Well, that's pretty much it. I don't really have anything else to say except it's cute, and it's every college movie you've ever seen except for that first and third act. I'm going to end up giving it a high stream it.
Yeah? Wow, I'm shocked by that. I thought you'd give it a little higher. Well, you know, I felt as times it was trying to get a pass on his brand name without really putting any effort. I felt that mainly in the second act, honestly, to make me love the film, because it was predictable and felt really safe at times. But I really enjoyed that third act. I thought that whatever concept, even because going in, I knew it was a Pixar film. I was like, Pixar's going to have some kind of message in here somehow, whatever. And I didn't see any of that message until the last 20 minutes where they went into the real world. And I was like, wow, if only they could have just fucking got some other writers on here, whatever, and did this throughout the whole movie. That's such a shame that it brought it down. But I'll go ahead and say this again. I actually enjoyed this one more than the first one.
Heart
for me, but I'm going to go ahead and give it a rant.
Wow. The only reason I don't give it a Renny is just because that second act is just that was just
generic.
Woof. It was starting to make me angry. Like, there was a point where I was contemplating walking out, and then I'm glad I did it, but
wow, dude.
Yeah, it's just,
I would have loved to see this with you, man.
It's just, my whole thing is like, people, you're gonna find out slowly that I'm not a fan of college, and this movie was just making me more and more mad.
Yeah.
As those college moments happen. And if that third act wasn't as good, this would have gotten a much lower score. But as it is, I'm like I said, it's a high streamer for me. It does save itself in the third act, but that second act, oh boy, was I close.
Ooh, so yeah, Monsters University, folks. Hope you drop out of college soon, everybody. Now,
Animal House for kids! Hooray!
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hey! I want a piece of that action!
Tentacles and serpent's wings, they...
Can't wait to start scaring with you, brothers!
We're gonna rip you to pieces!
Don't go in there!
Have fun, kids!
I'll just be here listening to my tune.